Even if I became that 100% convinced, even in the most extreme situations like that, is it really right of me to push my beliefs on other people? The next question there on the outline is, shouldn't Christians stay out of political issues? You know, I personally disagree with abortion, but should I really be pushing that? Is that really the right thing for a Christian to do? Well, the answer to that, actually, it's pretty simple. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to be salt and light. God regularly calls his people, and all people for that matter, to stand up for the defenseless. In Psalm 82, it reads, "Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." And Christians, even more so, how much more? Christians are called to help people in need, and who is more in need? Who is more defenseless than a baby? Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world," our Lord said. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." What does that mean that we're salt and light? What does that mean exactly? Well, I've done whole sermons on this, but in essence, salt, what does salt do? It has a preserving quality. At least when it is salty. Jesus said, you know, if salt loses its saltiness, then it's kind of good for nothing. You throw it out on the, you know, make the roof harder or something like that of your house, but that's about it. But no, he says, we are the salt of the earth. Our active presence helps to slow down moral decay, to help slow down the decomposition of a world that's dead in sin. We have that preservative quality in our culture. If we're active, if we're being salty, not salty like have bad attitudes, that means something else nowadays. But if we're doing what salt can do, and then as light, it gets even better. As light, we're light bearers. We bear the light of Christ, shining the light of the gospel. We're a part of his advancing kingdom. We can reverse decay. We can see new life spring up out of death because of what the Spirit does through us as the light of the world. You know, this has been the practice of the church right from our birth. We're back in the first and second century. These first and second generation Christians, they followed Jesus' orders to be salt and light, and they followed his commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. And this led to Christians speaking up for the sanctity of human life, even back in the first and second centuries, all the way back to the beginning. We've got this record passed down to us in the writings of the church fathers. There's a great podcast that discusses this and how it really is helpful to us today. And I didn't put it on your program. It was shared with me a little later in the week. But you could take a picture of this slide here if you want to listen to it yourself. This guy, Gavin Ortlund, does this podcast, and the title of this episode is "Abortion in the Early Church, the Surprising Witness We Need Today." And he does a great job showing how the church stood up for life all the way since the beginning. One of the things, back in the Roman Empire, abortion was legal back then. I know they didn't have all the ways we do it today, but they would still perform abortions back then in the Roman Empire. But because they didn't have all the so-called convenient ways of doing it that we have today, it was also legal in the Roman Empire, after you had a baby, to leave it out to die. If you decided, well, I don't want this baby because it's a female and I wanted a baby boy, or if the baby was handicapped in some way and you weren't ready to take care of the baby, or a financial burden, you're allowed to take it out to this place and just kind of leave the baby there in the wilderness to pass away. Christians, they got a reputation back in this time for rescuing those babies, because they saw the unborn and the newborn baby as their neighbor. And they defined even the unborn and the newborn as their neighbor, who's worthy of getting the love that we were supposed to share with them, the love we would have for ourselves. And Christians would go to these places where people were leaving babies, and they'd rescue them and they'd raise them as their own, saving their lives, teaching them about Jesus. You know, the pro-life stance, it wasn't some idea that was cooked up in 1950s America to keep women down. You get that impression sometimes. from people? No, not at all. This has always been the position of Jesus' church. And it doesn't keep anybody down. It elevates womanhood. Being pro-life is being pro-woman. And so, yes, we're commanded to get involved. I've got a few different examples there on your outline and to be on the slide here. First and foremost, and continuing, we need to pray. Pray to God for his intervention, for him to change hearts on this, and for healthy moms and babies. And then persuade. Have the guts to speak up about this issue. I know it's uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable right now. And I assume I'm, for the most part, surrounded by like-minded people. For the most part, I know there's probably people who disagree in different ways. I know it's intimidating. I've been intimidated. I've been in those conversations with friends and family members. But we got to speak up. I thank God for the times he's given me that courage to open my mouth and share the truth. Of course, in love. But you know, all the facts are on our side. If you feel like, I just don't feel like I've got all my facts straight, one place you can go is liveaction.org. This is Lila Rose is the lady in charge of this organization. And you could follow her, by the way, on Instagram, you know, social media, wherever you go. Lila Rose, she's Catholic, but she's doing so many great things for the cause of life. Her commentary when different news stories come out is always really good, very insightful. She's very smart. So go there, get some facts and information. It's all on our side. Remember when you're sharing, though, about this, share that truth in love with real compassion, with real grace, all right? Be like our Lord who came to give us truth and grace, all right? And bring that out with you, too. And then, of course, vote pro-life. Do vote pro-life. This is a top issue. I've been accused by friends and family, oh, you're just a one-issue voter. No, I'm not. There's a lot of issues I care about, you know. But this is a top issue. The other ones don't really matter that much. If you can't even protect a baby to be born, that really takes away the punch of all the other things that come afterwards. And so, yes, of course, vote your Christian conscience. Vote pro-life. And then reach out to moms. Be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus in people's lives around you. Reach out to moms and couples in crisis pregnancies. Our message to these women should be that God loves them and their babies, and that we'll come beside them to help them, to get through this in a way that preserves life and protects life. Maybe it's adoption. Maybe it's adoption. That's such a godly choice. Many families here have adopted. Many of you adults here grew up as a child who was adopted. And so you know it's such a godly choice. Or by offering to just come alongside and be a help and a support system to somebody who maybe doesn't know where to turn when they're in a crisis pregnancy. Say, you can turn to me. I'll help you. And then the last way, at least that I'm going to mention, to get involved is to support pro-life pregnancy centers. You could do that privately. I mean, like with money and stuff and time, service projects, donating things to crisis pregnancy centers. But also our church gives to the Crossroads Care Center there in Auburn Hills. And so 11%, you may already know this, but 11% of all the money that comes in here at Stony Creek Church goes to our missions fund, which goes out to all kinds of different Christian organizations, here in the U.S. and in different places in the world. One of the organizations we support regularly is Crossroads Care Center. In fact, they sent us some prayer requests this week, and I'd like to lead us in praying for them right now so we can just support them together as a church right here in the service. Will you join me? I'll pray aloud, but you can see them printed there on your outline. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Crossroads Care Center and the wonderful work they're doing to come alongside women and couples in crisis pregnancies and to give them real hope. They share the gospel with these people. They do ultrasounds and share the truth about life with these people, and they help people to make a decision that is consistent with the way you've taught us to live, to treat all life as bearing the image of our Creator. We pray for the women that come into the center. We pray the Holy Spirit would give these women love and compassion for their unborn babies. We pray for the staff working with these women and couples to be wise and compassionate, both in their words and their actions. We pray for all the clients of Crossroads Care Center that they would see Jesus' love and truth clearly on display with every interaction they have there. And I pray for Crossroads, they have this upcoming benefit March 6th. I pray, as they've asked us to, that the details would go smoothly, that many would attend and would give generously. Yes, indeed. Lord, I pray that people would give generously to such a worthy cause that's a cause for life. I thank you in the video we saw that crisis pregnancy centers around the country have saved 48 million plus lives. That's awesome, Lord. That is a miracle. Thank you for advancing your kingdom through these kinds of centers. May you continue to bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, one final question here to look at today, and the answer to this one is our main idea. All right, what if I had or was involved in an abortion? And the answer to that, really, this is for somebody wrestling with this, or every single one of us. Here is the answer, the main idea. Forgiveness and restoration are found in Jesus. We need to share the truth about abortion, but that includes the good news that Jesus' love can cover anyone, anyone. Scripture teaches us, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, one of the big reasons why somebody just can't change their mind on this issue, even if confronted with all the facts about it, one of the reasons some people cannot change their mind on this issue is because of the tremendous guilt that comes with fully realizing that an abortion is the taking of a human life. For somebody who's had an abortion, or been partner to an abortion, that can be crippling, devastating guilt. Launch them into deep depression and despair. Well, we need to share with people the real forgiveness and compassion and help and healing and restoration that's found in Jesus. That he really can forgive and restore you if you turn to him. Planned Parenthood says they have the compassionate answer. They don't. It's a lie. We have the compassionate answer, the Lord Jesus. He offers forgiveness for all kinds of sin, yours and mine included, even if it has nothing to do with this issue. These women, doctors, abortion clinic workers, any man